The High Calling. We want to begin with a scripture from Ephesians, the first chapter, and several verses, really verses 15 to 23, which we're going to read out of the King James Version. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things. And this is to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that would filleth all in all. Now the Diaglot renders that phrase the hope of his calling, the hope of his invitation. So it's this invitation that we realize was extended to include the calling of the gospel church and has been termed a high calling. Concerning this wonderful calling, we have the encouraging words from Apostle Paul. They should inspire us, brethren. And isn't that what a convention is about? Isn't that what the study of the Holy Word is about? It's an inspiration to be not only hearers of the Word, but they inspire us to go on in a way pleasing to Him. To have this greater appreciation of the words that we hear spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. Now let's look at Apostle Paul's words. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things before, I press on toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be as be perfect, be thus minded. And that's our theme text. It's Philippians 3. Verses 13 to 15. Pressing on to the mark for the prize of the high calling. This one thing I do. Again, the ramifications of that statement of what is involved in that you're learning, all of us are learning day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. It's the prize of joint heirship with Christ Jesus, and it's designed exclusively for the believers who know the Word of God. It has been deemed a holy calling in 2 Timothy 1:9, a holy calling. And so during this period of time, which we know is a gospel age, God has been drawing faithful believers to himself through the provision made by our degree of faith in the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and that merit of his sacrifice on our behalf, which was given freely, we know. And lovingly. And at the same time, though, the high calling has been referred to by the apostles as a mystery. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God hath ordained before the world of our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And also in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 9, familiar words to us, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things which God has in store for those that love him, who truly love him. And again, if you say you truly love him, have you responded to this call, you're going to be having that put to the test, your sincerity of heart, your desire for service, your willingness to give your all for the cause of truth and righteousness. And Ephesians 5:32 also tells us, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, the body of Christ, the glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Again, we realize that this is how we approach it. We go, if we have a spot or wrinkle on our robes, we pray for forgiveness and we're washed white and our robes are to be made whiter than snow. To understand this mystery and the hope of this calling, Paul intimates that something more than human ability is required. It involves faith in God, an enlightened mind through the Holy Spirit of understanding. And it leads us to this spirit of wisdom and revelation, the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. As Jesus explains, no one come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is really written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. John 6:44-45. So we have heard of him. We come to the Father through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And this is that great high calling of God. This is a glorious inheritance into which Jesus has already entered. This transformation to divine nature is the mighty power which he wrought in Christ Jesus. He did this when he raised him from the dead. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And that's our heart's desire, to be of that body of Christ. And this constitutes the full development of him who is filling up all things with all. That is the Heavenly Father, his Son, our glorified Lord, and his bride and joint heir, the gospel church of the firstborns, once again, whose names are written in heaven. And just think of it, brethren. Just think of that. You who are desiring to be of that household of faith, faithful saints, who have vowed that consecration vow. You responded to that call. Just think of the prospect of glory and the wealth of your calling. It goes beyond our human comprehension. But with our newness of mind, we have been given a glimpse of the Father's plans and purposes. We have been given a glimpse of his character. And we can say then, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness if I am faithful unto death. 2 Timothy 4:8. An important aspect, as we've alluded to already, of this high calling is that, as it's brought out in 1 John 4:19, God loved you first. When you were without strength, when you were weak, when there was no arm to save those from the things in the world. But we see from these special words that God has this wonderful love for the church, those who have consecrated themselves fully to him during this gospel age. He has set your feet upon a solid rock, Christ and the apostles. And so that important scripture comes into play here also. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he had sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And as he did that, through the obedience of his Son, it made it possible for us to believe on him, to be faithful until the church's completion. You know, going on this narrow way through its difficulties, joys, sorrows, testings, accomplishments, setbacks, but trusting all in the Lord. And he helps us and teaches that if we desire to have God-likeness, it's love-likeness. Because we do know that this God of love taught us that love is a fulfilling of the law. So we know that in our realm of understanding, God plays an indeed very special part in it. And so does our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And also we do. Because he tells us, sanctify yourselves therefore, be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. It's brought out in Leviticus, the 20th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Again, if we made that full consecration, an unreserved, a wholehearted consecration to God, he consecrates us, he accepts us, and then he sets us apart for himself. He sets us apart to be his royal own. He gives us the Holy Spirit again, and through that beginning, a new mind, a new disposition, a new heart. This is the will of God concerning you again, even your sanctification, your full setting apart. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you. And this really points out the process, the transformation that must and has to take place in our lives. It's a transformation of character. It's a preparation for future work, for the called ones to be faithful and progress through this Christian course until their character is fully developed, you know, fully ripened and maintained until the end of the way. And then also the Father helps us develop our new mind, our new will, which is the new creature in Christ Jesus. If we follow this course, God will sanctify us. And so this condition of complete sanctification is of God, but it's by Jesus. We know those words, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17:17. And in Romans 8:3, for God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin did condemn sin in the flesh, and the Heavenly Father gave permission for his only begotten Son to be born in the likeness of Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:49, and fulfill God's law. He was a perfect man in whom was no sin. That the righteousness, the full, whole, complete meaning of the law of God's demands as expressed by what is referred to that golden rule could be fulfilled. All things whatsoever you do, you would that men should do to you, do even to them, Matthew 7:12. This is really the outworking of our Holy Spirit. This is the outworking of our responding to that call to glory and honor and immortality. You serve God with your whole heart, and Jesus had that kind of a life. And he gives you a mark or seal of approval. And we want to have that in our lives. And also as we do that, as we've responded to that call, as it says in Isaiah 61:10, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. So, brethren, we see in our own lives the way that we have to go. For the illumination of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, we're striving to be footstep followers of our Lord. Prospective heirs of God's grace, Galatians 3:26. Ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's also a scripture that I wanted to quote at this time, and it's Galatians 3:28-29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A faithful God has promised with his loving heart all these wonderful words, and they are coming true. And we know, we trust in him. Because Paul here is writing to the true believers, to those who are Christ, who have put on Christ by immersion into his death, through consecration. Again, as we said, the beginning of the Holy Spirit. They have put on that disposition or spirit of the Master, They want to emulate his character and be more and more conformed to his likeness. And we don't do that tomorrow. We do that now, today. We realize that we have a time to accomplish these things and have them accomplished in us. And that God has determined to the qualification of character to all those who would constitute that the members of that seed must be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might once again be the firstborn among those many brethren. Them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. Back in Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, to reach this condition of glory requires that we be brought into full accord with the Father. And all that have accepted the call upon the Lord's terms, then there's a great deal of work that has to be done in us. And God is doing the work. As he's doing that work in us, again, and as we desire to be brought in full accord with his will, this is why the apostle Paul wrote again, that we're pressing on to that mark for the prize of the high calling. Again, which is a mark of heart, likeness to God's dear Son, a perfection of intention. In our own lives each day, we want to speak words that are pleasing and unctuous and blessed to our brethren, uplifting. This heart likeness to the dear Son is a lover of righteousness. It's a love of God for Christ, for the brethren, for the world of mankind, seeing their calamities and their misery and their suffering that goes on each day. So, brethren, let us strive to be lovers of righteousness. Let us go on to that mark of perfect love set before us. Let us desire, if we're faithful, to go on and seek that prize for glory, honor, and immortality. 2 Peter 1:3 and Romans 2:7. Now, we're talking again about this high calling in a special class. In the Abrahamic covenant, as recorded in Genesis 12:5, God declared his purpose to have the seed of Abraham bring blessings to all the families of the earth. And part of this seed would be that special class that was foreknown from before the foundation of the world, according as he has chosen us in him before that foundation, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:4. This points out over and over again the strict qualifications to be of this special class, that God himself has proclaimed a special calling for a special people, a special class of the human family, a little flock, to whom he grants special access by his hearing ear, his all-seeing vision, and his understanding heart. They have a special salvation. And it's referred to as so great a salvation which our Lord God provides for the elect according to his purpose. And we see also that according to the original divine plan, a multitudinous seed was contemplated from the beginning, the fullness, power, and authority of which would always reside in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Redeemer. The next step in divine arrangement has been the selection from amongst men of this special class called the Church of the Firstborn, names written in heaven, Hebrews 12:23. Of which Jesus is the Lord and head. Back again, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. And the other one was Hebrews 12:23. They are also called his brethren in Hebrews 2:13, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, 1 Peter 2:9. You responded to that call. You're not like the rest of the world. You have an aim, a hope. You've seen that glorious light on the hill, and you're drawn to that light. The illumination of the Holy Spirit draws you to that, and with your whole heart and your whole being, you want to respond to that call. And you want to daily serve Him and look for opportunities of service. So a royal priesthood. And under Him as the high priest or chief priest, our Lord, you can become a sharer of that glory and honor and immortality. As joint heirs in His kingdom, you share in the inheritance of the Abrahamic covenant as the seed to whom belongs the heavenly promise. And that's brought out in Revelation 20, verse 4. They shall be priests of God and of Christ. They shall reign with Him 1,000 years. This millennial reign of Messiah is a time of blessing and uplifting of mankind. The church reigning with Christ in His kingdom glory. A time of the world's regeneration. 1,000 years which Satan will be bound. A time when the knowledge shall fill the whole earth of God as the waters cover the sea. And this world will not have pollution and hunger and pestilence and earthquakes and covering the whole earth. But it will be restored perfect earth in which dwelleth righteousness. You know, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings. He grants blessings to you now, though. He's healed your heart. He took that heart of stone that couldn't have compassion and understanding, that thought of self, and He turned it to a heart of compassion that can love and have sincerity of this desire to serve and to love and be pleasing. And it has to do then, if we are to achieve these things, it has to do with our preparation. And perhaps we should ask the question, what is my calling? You've come here for a reason to this convention. You did respond to that call. But what is your calling? Well, the present mission of the church is perfecting the saints for the future work of service, to prepare the priests and kings for the next age. You are being taught of God and prepared to teach the world lessons of meekness and patience, brotherly kindness, long-suffering, and love. And again, if you're able to do this, you have to first develop them in your own self. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 brings that out. The fruits of the Spirit requires much from the footstep followers of the Lord. It requires so much that it eventually requires your life itself, which you vowed to give up. And so, brethren, we want to sacrifice each day in a way pleasing to the Father, that we can present our justified human nature to God as a living sacrifice, and this is the basis to seek the high calling. Again, we remember in each day that we are privileged to go on, that the selection of the church is along the lines of severe testing, that these who are called according to His purpose must be conformed to the image of the Son. Then and only then can they share in that glory which will follow. Again, it shows us that none are called to this high honor except the justified, and none will be justified except faith. Through faith, Romans 5:1. Faith in the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, His shed blood, that the Heavenly Father is calling out this people for His name. Then it follows that the vast majority of the world is blinded by Satan. They cannot believe, they cannot serve the living God at this time. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Therefore, this elect church, when complete, perfected and glorified at the end of the narrow way, as it brings out also in Matthew 7:14, will indeed be a little flock. with, as we're told, not many wise after the flesh, not many noble after the flesh, according to the estimate of the world. 1 Corinthians 1:26-28. We know that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And why is this so? So that no man can glory in his presence. He wants you to be humble, teachable, meek, lowly in heart. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hearken, my beloved. And when he says that, hearken, be of good cheer. Hearken, my beloved, because I will fulfill the promises that I have made to you. I will grant you to sit in my throne. God hath chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. James 2:5. And so that reward that is in store for those who are the called, the chosen, the faithful shall be priests, kings, rulers, instructors. We recall the experiences of Israel that the priestly office was kept distinctly separate from the kingly office. But in Christ, the two offices combine and illustrated in that double office of Melchizedek, a priest and a king. A royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, and as kings they shall reign with him and judge the world in connection with their Lord. Revelation 5:10. He as their head, the faithful followers as his body. The church, the royal priest of the future. But we must strive to be of this priestly class now, and we must not fail. And with his love and being under the shadow of his wings, we have been promised to be more than overcomers if we trust in him. And as then with him, you may rule and bless the nations. Now this anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, 1 John 2:27. And this oil began to reach the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost and flowed on down through the gospel age. And when that elect number is set and selected and glorified with their head, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, this gospel age, the gospel call will end. And not until then will the seed of Abraham have truly come. Now, brethren, we see that we have a lot to do. And it started with that call, give me thine heart. This was a point of contention in Paul's time when we went back to our text, and there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Paul pointed out to them that it was not a requirement to want to be pleasing to God outwardly. I would not want to be judged by my outward appearance. But aren't you thankful that God, he's a discerner of those that truly love him. He can read the intents of your heart, the intentions of your heart. It was more of a benefit to have this circumcision of heart, to have a law written in the fleshly tables of the heart. 2 Corinthians 3:3. And this is really an important aspect, a requirement to be of the body of Christ. God accepts all who come to him through Jesus Christ without distinctions of race or wealth or servitude or honor amongst men or distinctions of gender. All these things have been used by Satan in the world to gain advantage. But we realize, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall have the opportunity. Because why? There's an important aspect to be pointed out. The lesson is that the gospel is free. Romans 5:15 and Colossians 1:23. And it will continue to be so, but what does it require? It requires obedience, character likeness, recognizing the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And in the future will continue to be so. Whosoever will, let him drink of that water of life freely. And go on and please the Lord. And part of this that we do is that we have a vocation. And he tells us to be strong in your faith and in your vocation. Let every man abide in the same calling or vocation, 1 Corinthians 7:20. Because we, as our Lord did, make these words our own. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to all them that are bound. They're bound by superstition and darkness. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, you have that high calling in mind each day. Again, you're running for that prize set before us, the high calling in Christ Jesus. And you do it lovingly and willingly. And you hear that call, you responded to it, and you spend your life achieving those things that the Heavenly Father wants to have for you. And you study, and you remain teachable, no matter if you've been in the narrow way 1 year, 10 years, 50 years. You're here for a purpose. Each member of the body of Christ has been called for a purpose. You all have a special part in His plan. That glorious temple assembled in heaven in which the water of truth, clear as crystal, flows out to all the world of mankind. What a glorious prospect. You are indeed a workman that needeth not be ashamed. You're rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. The meek shall he guide in judgment. The meek shall he teach his ways, Psalm 25:9. And then he promised that promise. When you're weary and you're tired and you don't feel well, he says again, those words should resound in your heart and in your ears. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28-30. And as we do these things, we realize that we are not alone. Of course, we have our Heavenly Father and our Lord, but we have a yoke with us. We are yoked together, co-laborers in Christ Jesus, followers of the Lord. And so if we do these things, we labor not for the meat that would perish, but for that which endureth unto eternal life. John 6:27. And through God's grace, you've been given that special blessing of justification by faith. You've been given a special blessing of having your brethren with you. And again, as you're yoked together with our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and one another, you give back that love to the Heavenly Father. And you trust in Him because you have the full assurance that Jesus Christ paid it all for all the world of mankind. And as He did that, He again opened up your eyes of understanding and made you free, because the truth would make you free from all those things. The bondage of fear of the coming future. You see His plans and purposes being unfolded through the provisions of the holy prophets. We've heard them talked about today and yesterday. And we realize we have that our Lord Jesus, no matter if they deny His existence and He was just another man, we know He was not. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, the true and living Son of God. So our Lord Jesus was and He is still the great teacher of men by appointment of the Heavenly Father. The master teacher above all. We have bound ourselves unto the Lord with the covenant of the faithfulness unto sacrifice. It's our heart desire to learn good lessons each day and be prepared for that future glory. We want to go on and continue to be workers together with Him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Do we see, and I know we do, the seriousness of having your eyes of understanding open, of responding to that call, of giving your heart to Him, of having that contrite heart that's in serious sorrow for sin, and going to Him because you realize that there's a vital union with our Lord, as we mentioned, with the yoke fellows of His body. It's shown by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 49:7-9. We're invited to become co-workers with God in carrying out His plan. And in so doing, we're counted with Jesus Christ as filling up the measure of the sufferings necessary to that accomplishment. And it's a great transforming work. We have a desire to become joint heirs with Him, to fulfill the promise made to Abraham, and according to the highest feature of that promise, the spiritual feature, as a whole glorious Christ, head and body, is the promised seed of Abraham. The trying of your faith, though it be more precious than gold which would perish, worketh a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 1 Peter 1:7. The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, and during this present time in which you're living, you can share in the sufferings of Christ, in the cup of His sufferings, and being immersed in His sacrificial death. You are gems of God. You're being polished and shaped. He said in Malachi 3:16-17, they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. They shall be mine. The gems must be first found by God. Remember, He does the calling. The first of the jewels was our Lord Jesus, and other jewels, we've heard this lesson before, of varying sizes have been cored, the apostles like Paul and so forth, faithful teachers through the years. But they have a place in heaven, in the heavenly realm. So brethren, let us continue to respond to that call. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Endure faithfully to the end. Let us keep in mind that our Heavenly Father is faithful. We can trust in Him in all things. Our Father grants a special salvation to the church. It's a life on the highest plane. Inherent life, eternal life, everlasting life. And by His grace that He called you out of darkness, He called out a people for His name. And that once again, you'll be priest of the Lord. And that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is that breadth, length, and depth, and height, and you may be filled with the fullness of God. Oh, brethren, give every opportunity to take advantage of service, study, visiting the isolated, the sick, infirm, building up one another in the most holy faith. For we know that at the completion of that work, there awaits a crown of life which He gives to the more than overcomers, the called, the chosen, the faithful. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, yet it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3:2. And then, those faithful ones who respond to that call and have made their calling election sure, will say, surely goodness and mercy hath followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.